You're listening to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast, the Legal English Podcast for non-native English speakers that helps you improve your English listening, improve your legal English vocabulary, and build your knowledge of American legal culture.
Oh, yay, oh, yay.
Welcome to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast. My name's Daniel Edelson.
My name's Stephen Horowitz.
Hey, Stephen. So this is our What's New in the News series, in which we take turns asking each other about a news event. So, Steve, you're on today. What's new?
Okay. Thanks, Dan. Well, I picked an article from the American Bar Association's website, the ABAjournal.com. In their daily news section that was titled, These Factors Help Predict Whether a Law Grad Will Pass the Bar on the First or Second Try, Study Says.
Wait, hang on a second. So the headline was, these what?
These factors.
Oh, okay.
Help predict whether a law grad, like a law graduate, will pass the bar on the first or second try.
Oh, so the article is saying these are the factors that you can use to predict whether somebody graduating from law school is going to be able to pass the bar on the first try.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be. Dan, did you take the bar exam?
I took two. I took New York and New Jersey.
And did you pass on your first try?
I passed on the first try for both. And I was convinced that I failed on both.
Yeah.
So there you go. How many bars have you taken?
I took the New York bar and I passed on my first try. But this article interests me because anything that tries to predict who will or will not pass a big test like the bar exam, it feels kind of magical to me, like there's a crystal ball. And the study was done by a nonprofit organization called Access Lex that focuses on helping law students succeed, and particularly students who might need more support. For example, students who are the first in their families to go to college or law school might struggle more in law school or might struggle to pass the bar. And Access Lex is an organization that among other things, wants to help those students succeed. So one of the interesting takeaways from this study is that students who have larger household sizes, that is, they live with more family members or other people, are less likely to pass the bar exam on the first try.
Wait a second. So if you have more brothers and sisters, that means you're less likely to pass.
Well, not just having more brothers or sisters, but more brothers and sisters and you live with them. If you live with your parents and some siblings or, you know, grandparents, aunts and uncles, the more family members, well, actually, I didn't say family members, the more members in your household, the less likely you were to pass on your first try. So, Dan, when you took your bar exams, what was your living situation?
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so the New York bar, it was just me. I was on my own. Sometimes I would study with my girlfriend, but it was really just me. The second one, which was the New Jersey bar. By that point, I had my wife and my son, and we had just been moving from overseas, so we came back to the U.S. So I was, the living situation was kind of funny. So sometimes I'd be living with even more people. So maybe that means I had a higher risk of not passing.
Yeah.
How many people were you living with when you took the New York bar?
I had just graduated from Duke down in Durham, North Carolina, and with a couple friends, we rented a house for the summer, and I just stayed there and studied. So I was in a household with two other people, but they were friends who were studying for the bar. So I'm not sure that that's what the Access Lex study had in mind when they talked about a household. They didn't say family members, but I assume it was something more like family members. So I don't know that I fit that category.
Okay, so they must make some sort of correlation between why it would be that more people living in your household leads to poorer outcomes on the bar. What's their analysis?
They didn't. There was also a comment that those who had other employment, that were working a side job, or any other job, had lower pass rates on the first try. So there's some implication that a larger household somehow interferes with studying. I would think that if you're living in a family situation, there's more obligations, there's more shared space and shared time, and it might be harder to focus and organize your studying in the intensive way you need to do to prepare for the bar exam. Now, for broader context, I think there's a couple things going on with bar exams and the law schools that might be helpful context. And one thing I've noticed is I think there's been a democratization of the law school student population. That is, there's more students from more different backgrounds going to law school these days than there were in the past. I think law school in the past was more of a narrower or more limited demographic. And the other thing going on is that the ABA, the American Bar Association, has standards that law schools must meet to be an accredited law school. And one of those standards is that some percentage of graduates from a law school must pass the bar within 5 years. I forget if the number is 70% or 80% or 60%, but whatever it is, there's some number that have to pass. So the idea is that if not enough graduates of a law school are passing the bar, then the law school is not doing a good job of teaching its students, and its students are not getting their money's worth, and law school is expensive. This isn't such a big deal for, say, top 20 law schools like Harvard or Yale or Georgetown or others, because nearly all of their graduates pass with no problems. You know, there's not a general need for additional support to pass the bar exam. But for a lot of law schools, this is a big deal. You know, more law schools are accepting students who might be less familiar with or less comfortable in the traditional academic environment of American law school. And so most law schools now provide significant support to help students learn how to study and learn better in order to improve their outcomes on the bar exam. It's not just important for the student to pass the bar exam. Now the law schools have an interest in their students passing the bar exam as well, or a very direct interest. Dan, when you studied for the bar, did you get any help from your law school?
I don't want to say I didn't get any help, but I didn't get any help. And it wasn't as though, it sounds negative, but I wasn't really expecting any help from the law school. And this is a while ago. So the standard model for legal education then was, well, we teach you to think like a lawyer, but you sort of have to study a lot of the fundamentals on your own. So I wasn't really expecting help from my law school, and I didn't get any, but I certainly don't blame the law school for that. How about you?
Yeah. And I have the same experience. There was no expectation that my law school was going to help me with bar study. That was something you did on your own. But I think things have changed since we were in law school. We were in law school I was in the 90s. Is that when you were in law school?
Yeah.
And I think now there's a much more developed academic support community of professionals and professors who work with students to help them succeed in law school, to help them learn to be better learners. And there's a better appreciation for the needs of this new generation of law school students.
That's a good point. And one thing that occurred to me as you discussed this article was there's so much data out there now. And I would think that if you're a law school student, that this type of information would be interesting to you, because you could probably get all sorts of information about things that I might do which will make it statistically likely for me to succeed, and things that I might do that would make it statistically less likely. Now, obviously, I'm not suggesting that anyone get rid of family members as part of their bar preparation, but it would certainly be something that a student would want to keep in mind. Like, okay, I know that more students with larger families have difficulty passing the bar. I've got a lot of people living in my house. I need to consider that as I prepare for the bar examination.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting from a cross-cultural perspective, because in other countries, the bar exam doesn't work this way. In the US, every state has its own bar exam. So you take a bar exam for the state, but also in theory, an unlimited number of people can pass the bar exam. You just have to meet a certain score and you pass and you can become a lawyer. Whereas in a lot of other countries, there is a limit. There's a fixed number of people who can pass the bar, which makes it, I think, a lot more intense and competitive.
That's a good point. Steve, one thing I wanted to ask you was, does the study say anything about international students or LLM students?
It doesn't. It really doesn't get into that at all. And there's nothing even about non-native English speakers. And I think that's because that the passing rates for LLM students are not included in the numbers that the ABA looks at when reviewing law schools for accreditation.
I see.
But obviously it's a challenge for LLM students to pass the bar. Dan, have you ever worked with any LLM students to help them with studying for the bar?
Yeah, I've worked with several. I've worked with students who are often trying to take the New York bar, which is a popular bar for LLM students. So I tutor students in terms of their bar exam preparation, essay writing, substantive law. You've certainly worked with a number of LLM students too, right?
Yeah, I designed a sort of ongoing non-credit course to help LLM students work on, specifically on the essays, and developing sort of efficient writing strategies and building writing fluency. Because it seemed like for a lot of the LLM students, they knew the material, they were able to learn the material, but writing quickly was hard. So being able to write, to have an organized writing strategy for writing faster and more efficiently was important for them. So that's something that I really worked on a lot with them.
That's a good point. And I think also something that I know we both enjoy and value is working with students before it's time to take the bar. So while the students are still studying in law school, I think there's so many skills that you can develop that often have a lot more long-lasting significance than just passing the bar examination.
Yeah, a lot of it is strategies and things that you have to practice over time. And building up strings and chunks of English language that you can use fluently to connect your ideas. And those are things that take time to develop.
Good point. And Steve, thanks so much for talking about that article.
Yeah, thanks. It's a really interesting article to talk about.
Great. And thank you for listening to the U.S. Law Essentials Law and Language Podcast. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Bye.